Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Two words that should not be in the same sentence. Porn and child. How about these words? Child porn and daycare. That should not even be in the same paragraph. Daycare? Child porn? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and Sirius XM 111, where we still care about fighting crime. And that includes child porn by a daycare operator? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Take a listen to Lisa Rosner, CBS 2.
Lena's Garden Daycare on Decatur Avenue in Williamsbridge is temporarily closed, and police have released this photo of employee Silfredo Castillo Martinez. They're asking anyone whose children may have come in contact with him to give them a call. Earlier this month, the 32-year-old was arrested for creating and possessing child pornography. He's been employed there for the last decade. This mother almost enrolled her three sons there.
Just something felt off.
Yeah, like, okay. You know, like first a mother.
He was quiet. He looked friendly. He was all done talking.
In a criminal complaint, the Bronx District Attorney says Martinez told an officer May 3rd, "I download child porn movies. I got it from Telegram in different chat rooms. Telegram is a social media app with instant messaging and file sharing features." The officer said a search of Martinez's computer found 10 files involving children. One was an infant and others were boys between the ages of 7 and 12.
I hardly know where to start. This guy had been working there for 10 years, and the parents liked him because he was, quote, friendly, always talking. I bet he was friendly. Guys, this makes me sick to my stomach. I did a ton of research on this, in addition to prosecuting child molestations and child abuse cases, for my book, Don't Be a Victim, about how to avoid pitfalls like this. When you're taking your child to a babysitter or having somebody come into the home or going to daycare, let me first start with Nicole Parton, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, and you can find her on Twitter at Nicole Parton. Nicole, what happened? This guy who's making and exchanging porn had been working at a daycare for 10 years?
That's right, Nancy. So from 2011 to 2022, Silfredo Castillo Martinez, 32 years old, has been working at the daycare, actually running the after-school program at the daycare. And they're saying they believe that he's been involved in child pornography the entire time.
As a matter of fact, one of his victims reportedly is a 12-year-old who went to the daycare center. How did this happen? He's been doing this for 10 years at that daycare center and nobody figured it out. Well, it's not the first time that this has happened. It's happened many times before, but take a listen again to our cut two, Lisa Rosner, CBS 2.
A police source tells us one of the victims is a 12-year-old who attended the daycare. Authorities haven't found evidence there were other victims from the location, but they are still investigating.
A lot of people, he sent the kids over here, never had no problem about it. Everybody loved this guy.
But clear red flags aren't always there, says the executive director of the New York Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Children.
The people that abuse children, sexually abuse children, are master manipulators. 90% of child sex abuse is committed by someone the child knows and trusts. It's never too early to start this conversation with your children about what parts of their body are private.
For now, Martinez remains in jail as he has not been able to meet bail set at $100,000 cash or $300,000 bond.
Straight out to Scott A. Johnson, forensic psychologist, joining us out of Minnesota. 32 years specializing in stopping and addressing sex predators. You know, Scott Johnson, thank you for being with us. So often, adult females of rape or sex attack don't come forward. In fact, the vast majority of them never report the rape or attack. With children, it's even more. Explain. Like, you just heard somebody say, nobody had any idea. Well, of course not, because children don't know how to enunciate. I mean, some of them are 2 and 3 years old. One of these was an infant. An infant. So explain why children typically don't say, hey, mommy, I just got raped. They can't.
Right. And the problem is that with the children, number one, they should never be in this situation. They're not equipped to deal with this situation. And the perpetrators don't just use fear tactics. They also build a relationship. They groom and they try to make it a little less scary at times. Therefore, by the time most child victims probably first disclose, it may be, in my opinion, anywhere from 3 to 5 or 10 years later, because it takes that long to process. Plus, it takes that long perhaps to have someone believe them.
Yeah, you're right. Stacey Honnell is joining us, assistant state attorney in Florida. Her specialty, sex crimes and child abuse, and author of My Private Parts Are Private. Explain, can you back up Scott Johnson and verbalize what I'm trying to say about why children do not report?
Well, look, there is a myriad of reasons why little kids don't want to come forward. Number one, they trust the person, or they've learned to trust the person, and they don't want to get the person in trouble. That's the first thing. Second thing is they're threatened. If you tell anybody, you're going to get in trouble. I'm going to do something to your family. Third, they don't want to talk about something that has to deal with their private parts. And this is why I have been saying for years and years and met with so much resistance about early education. You need to teach the kids early. The infants, of course, we have no control over. But from the time that a child can say, that's my eyes, that's my nose, that's my mouth, and when peer parents are so excited, show grandma, where's your tummy, where's your knee? There's nothing wrong with saying, that's my vagina and that's my penis. And the thing is, it's not the children that are embarrassed by learning this stuff. It's the parents later on. You need to educate early. These are your private parts. No one can touch them. No one will hurt you if you come forward and tell. If you tell somebody, we will protect you and we will fight for you. This has been my mantra forever. And we see these cases day in and day out. And parents who say to me, I don't know how to start this conversation. Well, it's easier to have a 10-minute conversation every single day with your kid than sitting in the state attorney's office if God forbid your kid is a victim.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Tatanya Jordan is with me, Chief Parent Office with BARC. And you all know how I feel about BARC. I love BARC. And no, I'm not their spokesperson. I have it on my phone, on my devices. And whenever any particular word comes up on the children's phone, it alerts me. Usually it's something in a song that's being passed around on their group chat. I remember going over to the twin school and taking my son out of class when I got a BARC control that the F word was used. Somebody had sent him a rat. I didn't know what it was, but I looked at it on BARC and it said the sentence and I thought, I cannot believe this has come out of my son's mouth ever. Well, Tatanya, I drove to the school. I dropped what I was doing. And I drove to the school and I said, son, what is this? And he went, Mom, that's part of a lyric blank. I'll leave the little boy's name out of a rap song that he sent me and he showed it to me. And in fact, that is what it was. And BARC is so sensitive. It picked up the F word in a rap song somebody sent to my son. So
wow.
Long story short, I mean, the thing you don't want to do is find out your daycare provider who is with your child every afternoon after school is making porn. So could you help me out on how this would show up online?
Absolutely, Nancy. I have so much to say, and I'm going to keep it as short and sweet as possible. First of all, BARC has helped to escalate over 1,000 predators to law enforcement. Last year alone, there was
a 97.5% increase in online enticement reports, according to NCMEC.
Hey, could you just slow down a tiny bit?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Online enticement. What is that? That's making me feel like, I remember when we lived in New York so long, we would walk by something called Hot and Crusty. It was a bakery. And I would walk by it, and it would be at night by the time I was getting home off Larry King Live or whatever I was coming, and it would look so good. I just wanted to break in the front door and get it all. To me, that's being enticed, but you have a very different meaning. But the way you said it makes it sound not so bad. Online enticement is the worst.
Yeah. It's grooming. It's befriending children. It's almost acting like a peer in some cases, and eventually leading to sextortion, where they'll pressure a child into sending a photo and then saying, if you don't send me more, I'll hurt your family. But there's so much to talk about here, specifically with regards to the daycare and the trust that is placed between children and who they know. As a childhood sexual abuse survivor myself, the things that we're talking about today hit very close to home. I was too young to understand what was happening. All I knew was that it felt good, and that was it. I had been talked to about private parts and how only doctors and mom and dad should you know, see them or touch them. And so I knew, my mom knew, but I needed to be having more of those conversations. And then once I finally realized, wow, this was not okay, then I was terrified. This is a man we had found through our church. And you know, what would happen to him? And did he even mean to do it? And would he hurt me and my family? And all of these thoughts coming through your head between
the ages. Did you actually say, did he mean to do it?
I did. Yeah, that was one of the things. Like, was he just a curious person and made a mistake? And should I forgive him again?
An adult?
Yeah.
Making a mistake, getting into your pants?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, we were talking about a guy making porn with children as young as infants, and he also ran a daycare. Take a listen to our Cut 9, our friends at WABC.
This is what a parent's nightmare is made out of. Now, we spoke with business owners as well as residents who know Castillo Martinez. They've seen him take children from the daycare to a local park and never noticed anything inappropriate. Now, as shocking as this might be to community members, police believe there could be more victims. Police need your help tracking down more potential victims of Silvredo Castillo Martinez, the 32-year-old now behind bars, charged with promoting and possessing multiple pornographic images involving children. Tonight, Lena's daycare in the Bronx, where Castillo Martinez operated an after-school program, temporarily closed.
I'm really, really surprised. I don't know. No words to say.
One parent who lives nearby breathing a sigh of relief. His five-year-old was not accepted into the program.
They asked for too much papers. We didn't have everything, so
yeah.
We're lucky we didn't leave our kid there.
You know, it's amazing to me, and I want to follow up on this, that people that know the perp say, oh, well, we never had a problem. That's because child molestation and creating porn is done in secret. To Derek Ellington joining me, certified forensics examiner, licensed PI at Ellington Digital Forensics, Ellington.net. Derek, how do we find the porn in order to analyze it and then match up the children and the pictures with the infants and children at the daycare?
Well, and Nancy, as a prosecutor, you know how big of a problem this is. And the first thing I would say is one of the mothers from the daycare, she said the most important thing, I think, in an interview, and that was her vibe, that there was something that was off. And what people need to understand about these predators is that they're so good at fitting in. They're so good at being charismatic and manipulative that sometimes we only have the slightest clue. They pop up on the radar one time. So people have to, you know, look for changes in their kids' behavior, trust their vibe about a place. Unfortunately, sometimes these people only pop up on the radar one time. And so we always have to be very careful about looking for that. One of the other things is content providers like Google and Microsoft and stuff, they do a good job of trying to find these things. So what's happened is it's caused the predators and the child porn creators and consumers to go further underground. You and I have talked many times about the dark web and things like that. They're getting harder and harder to find because they use technology. They use tricks to hide. So again, it's very important that people trust their vibe. They see these little clues, things like that. That's how we catch these people.
I want to go back to Nicole Parton joining us, crimeonline.com investigative reporter. You state that some of the child victims were infants in the child porn?
That's correct. So authorities are saying that one of the victims in the videos uploaded were an infant. So we have knowledge that there is at least one infant, and then the other children involved were boys ages 7 to 12. And while we can focus on the fact that the perp was in charge of the after-school program, which is for the older school-age children, it's also odd to note that his home address is listed as the daycare address. So it's believed that he lives in that same building. So he had access not just to the school-aged kiddos at the after-school program, but he had access to all of the victims, all of the children trusted to that daycare, which are babies ages 6 weeks to 12 years old.
Stacey Honnow is joining me, Assistant State's Attorney out of Florida. Weigh in.
All I can say is this, you know, people act so surprised. I mean, what we have to understand is, as your first guest said, and I always have said, a master manipulator, this is what their job is, to be near kids. They will stop at nothing to be in an environment around children. And that's what I always try to tell parents. You have to be cognizant. You have to use your common sense. Why is this guy babysitting infants? Why? I mean, not that everybody is a predator, but you need to ask questions. You need to investigate. You need to figure out. And when they try to fit in, they fit in because they want to have a relationship with the child, because that goes far. If they have a relationship with this child and then they molest the child or sexually abuse this child, the likelihood that that kid is going to talk in their mind is nil. They would say, why would this kid tell me? I bought them things. I gave them money. I gave them treats. I gave them toys. That's the manipulation. That's the grooming. And so people need to wake up. I also tell parents, please don't put pictures of your naked babies on Instagram, because people don't realize that anybody can lift those photos and then put it on the dark web. Put it in a position where there's a naked man with his genitals exposed, and there's your baby, the beautiful picture you took of your baby in the tub next to it. So I don't know why people don't wake up and realize, read the news, listen to Nancy Grace, see what's going on out there. Don't bury your head in the sand, because ultimately it could be your child, even though you think it could never be.
Oh, sorry. And Nancy, this is Derek. I wanted to follow up on what she was saying, and that one of the biggest concerns that we see that parents often overlook is the online gaming. And when their kids get involved in online gaming, a lot of times mm-hmm. the parents just, you know, they see it as a safe distraction for their children. But you need to be as cognizant of who your kids are associating with when they're playing online games as they would in person. And I tell parents, if you wouldn't let a random 50-year-old dude come to your house and sit on your couch and play video uh-huh. games with your kid, don't let them do it online.
Guys, we're talking about a guy making porn with children as young as infants, and he also ran a daycare. I'm also curious here as to how this guy was left alone with the children unsupervised in a way that he could actually video sex acts on infants, which in my mind is a whole nother animal. There's child molestation and sex acts on little babies.
This is Scott chiming in here that, you know, this is typical of the narcissistic and psychopath traits of these offenders. They're very calm to come in. They build relationships with adults, so no one thinks twice that they're interacting, but they're doing too much. And again, the question of why was he doing what he was doing, you know, the access to the children, the amount of time, but also the belief in his head that what he's doing is okay to do. And that confidence that the lack of being held accountable up till now, and most children are not reporting in any timely fashion because they're just not typically capable to do so. And so that further emboldens him. And so likely there'll be many, many more victims here. But I agree with so much of what your experts have said here that you have to trust your child. And when something seems off, you have to investigate.
You know, Scott Johnson, a forensic psychologist joining us out of Minnesota, I think it also ties into a narcissistic personality in that not only is he so bold to do it and think he can get away with it, can actually film it. That's another step in brazenness.
And another thing, Nancy, you know, these manipulators, just to chime in at Stacey, you know, they tell these kids, I love you and what I'm doing is fine. Don't worry about it. This is proper. This is okay. And these kids, if they're not educated at an early age, if they're not taught, then they agree. They go along with it. And that's a lot of the things that we see, why we see so much in a delayed report. A child who's well educated and knows will know the first time someone attempts anything to tell somebody, and that can keep you from being a perpetual victim.
You know, Stacey, you're so right. And I've seen in many, many cases where adult victims of child abuse and molestation, at the time, they respect the abuser, for instance, in this case, guy that worked at the daycare, but a very close friend of mine was molested by an adult male, and she was a child, an adult male, at her church. She was the custodian, and that went on for years and years and years, and she believed, wrongly of course, that he was with the church, so why would this be wrong? She was afraid to speak out. He was a church member as well, and thought that she would be disbelieved when she realized ultimately that what had been happening to her was wrong. So very often, depending on who the perp is in relation to the child, they may be afraid to speak out or think that, oh, okay, this is all right.
Right. And then also, if I could add in on that, also that, the fact that the offender has already been accepted by your parents to be around you further discourages the child at times from telling, because parents and others have already said, this is an okay person to be around. So, just to highlight that issue.
And Nancy, this is Derek. One of the things that, again, you and I have talked about before is how good these predators and these criminals are at compartmentalizing their behavior. They are so good. And it's easy for us to say that, that it's almost like a split personality where they can be that charismatic, caring person that everybody puts trust in, but at the same time have this dark side. But when we investigate these people and we look at their digital footprints, it is scary how much it's almost like you're looking at two different people, because they're so good at covering who they really are.
Derek, that is an amazing insight, because I have found so often abusers can be very charming and very charismatic, and people on the outside would never believe what they're doing behind closed doors. And I've seen it in so many battered women cases and so many child abuse and molestation cases. But even on a bigger scale, look at these pastors that are molesting children, molesting girls, but the flock has no idea. Okay, Jim Jones, that's an obvious one. He was crazy and ended up murdering so many people. But on the outside, he was revered and looked up to and was very charismatic. So if grown adults can fall under the spell of a charismatic, What about little children? You're absolutely right. What you see is not always what you get.
Nancy, this is Titania. As everybody has brought up today, and I want to really hit home, is that you've got to have multiple ongoing conversations with your children at all ages and stages of their development. This is an ongoing conversation, not just a one and done. And then second, I want to bring up the fact that we really need to start calling this CSAM, child sexual abuse material, not child pornography. It increases the, it desensitizes people to what it actually is. And it is horrific sexual abuse and nothing other than that.
Nancy, this is Derek. I just wanted to add to.
Go ahead.
For people here in North Carolina, this hits a little close to home. I know you probably remember in the early 90s when it was the Little Rascal Daycare Center case out of Edenton, North Carolina, where the owners, seven people were charged with abuse. There were over 100 counts of abuse, and it was a very highly publicized trial that went on for a long time in the early 90s. And I think that was one of the first ones that really shocked some people's sensibilities about those kind of things. And I think part of the overall problem we have to address is the access to affordable daycare. There were 16 kids in that apartment. And I think that's also something, affordable, safe daycare is something that this country needs to address.
Yeah, Nancy, this is Stacey, and I just, you know, I'm doing this over 30 years. And so, believe me, I've seen it all. Every excuse, every parent that's come in crying, every parent that said, why my child? Every parent that said, I don't know how to have a conversation. This is an epidemic. We cover the fishbowl, the big cases, the newsworthy cases. There are hundreds of cases in hundreds of offices all over the country where there's child porn, there's child sexual abuse, there's child molestation. It is a real issue. And I think that we need to educate in the schools. We need parents to stop thinking it's never going to be them. We need to know that sex abuse knows no boundaries. Fat, thin, black, white, Jewish, Catholic, whatever it is. Anyone can be a suspect and anyone can be a victim. And so we need to wake up and we need to really start having conversations and not being fearful of it.
Well, another thing, Stacey, Honowitz, Stacey joining us out of Florida, specialty sex crimes and child abuse, author of My Private Parts Are Private. Stacey, I think parents need to come up with a way to say, has anyone sex molested you? A child won't even know what that means. And it has to be in a non-threatening, talkative, conversational, kind, gentle way. Like, you know, when you've ever been in the bathroom, has anyone ever touched your private parts, your front end or your back end? Or tried to kiss you in any way that made you feel bad? They won't get in trouble. Just tell me, has anybody ever done that? Or if you have an idea of someone, like a babysitter, or someone like here at this daycare, to question them in a non-threatening way, tell them the person won't get in trouble, but that no one is supposed to touch them and their private parts. A lot of adults are intimidated about asking it because they don't know how to broach it. I thought long and hard before I had the talk with the twins. Of course, they already knew everything there was to know before I got around to saying anything. But I had to think of a way to bring it up, just like I had to bring up that question to them when they were little and they were with babysitters or at play school. I wanted to know, and I wanted them to know that they could come to me and tell me and not be upset or embarrassed about it. So you're very, very right, Stacey.
Don't pass the buck to the teacher. Don't pass the buck. You as a parent, you tell your kids, don't say no. You say no to drugs. Don't do this. Don't do that. Now it's time to talk about the tough stuff. Might be tough now. It's going to be tougher a little bit later if you don't cover it. So everyone needs to get on the ball if you don't cover it. So everyone needs to get on the ball.
Can I add something to that? Because what you said was amazing. And we do a lot of conferences and trainings to try to teach parents how to keep their kids safe on the internet. And it's interesting that we will do a survey and we will say, okay, what is an appropriate age for this type of social media or this type of electronic device? And it's really interesting that the parents will kind of have a certain idea of what a certain age limit would be or what appropriate age would be. And then we ask the question again and we say, what if it's your kid? And the problem is that parents will have an idea of what's appropriate for everybody else, but then they'll be more lax when it comes to their kid. Well, my kid can handle it. You know, my kid can have this social media, even though I don't believe it's age appropriate. And I think that's part of the problem we run into as well, is that parents have an inflated idea of what their kids can handle and you know, need to be more realistic about, you know, reining them in and monitoring them and stuff like that. And I think that's kind of the takeaway here, is that you have to know what your kids are doing, who they're associating with, trust your vibe and trust your kids.
Uh-huh.
Stories with Nancy Grace.
Back to Scott Johnson, forensic psychologist, joining us out of Minnesota. What about it, Scott?
You know, when people, I always teach law enforcement, for example, you know, people that are out of context for a situation, too friendly or too angry, et cetera. Well, when we're dealing with daycare providers or alleged suspects here, you know, people that are too friendly toward our kid when they shouldn't be. An inappropriate attention toward our kid where it shouldn't be. And so some of this is also pieces that we have to pay attention to. You know, for example, with the Jerry Sandusky case, why was he taking so much interest in particular boys? Well, because he was molesting them. But on the outside, of course, it appeared he just wanted to be coaching them. So to be more aware of this, too, someone that wants an interest in our kid, we should be you know, really looking into that before we allow it.
And another thing, I mean, we hear stories about where teachers spend one-on-one time with students, take them to movies, talk to them over the weekends. That's inappropriate. And there was Sandusky, talk about a revered figure. Everyone in the sports world looked up to him. So how hard do you think that was for those molestation victims to know that this famous, revered guy was molesting them?
Yeah.
What about it, Stacey?
We see so much of these coaching cases, these kids that are on athletic teams, and the coach takes such an interest in them. And sometimes it's not for nefarious reasons, but many times it is. If you have a coach that wants your kid's phone number and wants to text with your child and wants to come over on Saturday and wants to take your kid to the movies, if you see an overabundance of affection in some way, you need to start asking. It's not always bad, but you need to start questioning your child. Is there something going on? Is there something that's making you feel uncomfortable? I mean, you need to ask those tough questions. The problem in the society that we live in today is people don't want to talk about the tough stuff. They want to talk about the frou-frou stuff. You know, when I try to talk about it with mom bloggers and I ask them to please, I think you should maybe your audience would like to know that my books, there's tools that are out there. And they say to me, oh, they'd rather talk about a fun play date on what's in sale in Target. They don't realize, you know what? You need to cover difficult things and you need to talk to your kids. And, that's the takeaway of everything. Be aware. Be aware of surroundings with your children. Have open conversations and dialogue with your kids. Talk to your kids till they finally say to you, Mom, I've heard it before, I know. Don't talk to somebody on the internet. Don't do that, you know, till they're so aggravated because it's ingrained in their mind. And I say that from a perspective of an increase in cases and what I've seen over these years and how I see how people react to not wanting to discuss, you know, hard subjects like this.
Derek Ellington, forensics examiner at Ellington.net. What is Telegraph?
Telegram is just basically kind of a chat and communication app, but you can trade files and stuff back and forth. A lot of this goes on through chat, through encrypted chat. The same thing that people look for when they, you know, they want to make sure their communications are secure is the same thing the predators use. Kick Messenger is another big one for this. I think it's important to note, and I talked about earlier about how the predators are getting better with their software. It kind of goes back to 2013 with the revelations with Eric Snowden and the government collecting people's information. Well, what happened is regular people and predators all of a sudden for the first time had in their head that their information was not safe and secure. And it started pushing them underground. They started using things like you and I've talked about, the dark web, Tor browsers, encrypted chat. And so it's made it a lot harder for law enforcement to monitor and catch these people. In fact, we had a recent case where a guy was doing this stuff. He was doing everything correctly from a technology standpoint, hiding his tracks and stuff. And one time, the software he was using, the little program in the background to cover his tracks, crashed. And his IP address, his location flashed like a, you know, like a beacon for just one instant. And that was enough to catch him and put him in jail for 14 years. Sometimes we never, these guys never come up on the radar. So when they do, we have to do whatever we can to catch them.
Well, and just for my website, forensicconsultation.org, on the publication page, I put for free, people can access articles that are going to actually look at what the research has to say about this, because all too often I hear people try to defend a pedophile. They have a psychological disorder. No. They made a decision to do what they did. It was very deliberate, and it's important we understand more of the grooming strategies and things like that. So just to be more aware, I agree with what everyone's saying. Be more aware and not afraid to intervene.
To you, Nicole Parton, where does it stand right now? Has the grand jury met yet?
We are waiting. He remains in jail. He was not able to get out on his bond or bail, so we wait to see what happens. But these charges, he's charged with not only possessing the child porn, but promoting the child porn.
And making it with the children at the daycare. We wait as justice unfolds with the defendant in this case, Silfredo Martinez. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.